Let us turn to Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Story of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. Happy Thanksgiving in advance. I hope all of you have a great time and safe travels if you're traveling. Thanksgiving reinforces a very biblical truth that it is a good thing for all of us to give thanks to the Lord. I think of Thanksgiving as a quieter holiday. I don't know about you, but it doesn't have all the commercial stuff. Now, we'll be having 25 or 26 people at our house, so keep your windows closed. You might hear us. It may not be so quiet at our house, but still, comparatively speaking, it's just not as much noise around Thanksgiving as there is Christmas, and it's a quality holiday. It doesn't have to share the glory with Santa Claus or Easter Bunny or anything else. And so I've always loved this season of the year, and I've always loved this story, and trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts and His Spirit be our preacher this morning. Father, thank You for Thanksgiving. Thank You that we have a time in our country to set aside and acknowledge that You're the fount of every blessing and the author of every good and perfect gift. What do we have that we haven't received? Everything we have has come from You, Lord. And so even the hard things, the trials and tribulations have come from You, and we thank You for those as well. Soften our hearts, preach to us, teach us, quicken us, stir us, we pray. And as the choir just sung so beautifully, may we be like children at home, at peace, at rest in the days to come as we anticipate and reflect upon Your many, many blessings to us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Luke 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When He saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Amen. I think this narrative is sort of a sobering look at human nature. How blessed we are, but how easily, how quickly we forget the source of those particular blessings. We joke about being forgetful as we age, and rightly so. Matter of fact, I just came across a story a few days ago about an elderly couple sitting on their front porch late one evening in their rocking chairs one hot summer evening. Grandpa looked over at Grandma and said, "Sweetie, would you like some vanilla ice cream?" And Grandma said, "That'd be lovely." So with some difficulty, he rose out of his rocking chair and went inside. But before he got too far, he went back to the porch and said, "Sweetie, would you like some hot fudge on your ice cream?" "Well, that would be lovely," she said again. So he shuffled back toward the kitchen, but then again he turned around and went back to the porch and said, "Sweetie, would you like some walnuts on your ice cream?" "Well," she said, "that'd be perfectly lovely, but you better write it down or you'll forget." So he went back into the kitchen, and this time he was gone for quite some time. Grandma wondered what had happened to him, and finally, about 20 minutes later, Grandpa returned and served his wife a plate of scrambled eggs. She looked at the eggs and looked at him and said with some disgust, "I told you to write it down. Look here, you forgot the bacon." But we don't have to be old to forget things, do we? Young and old alike, we can forget the sacrifices of the early settlers that settled our country. We can forget the sacrifices of our military people that serve our country so well and defend our freedoms nearly every day. We can forget the blessings of family and friends and food. Who among us is concerned about where our next meal will come from? We can forget the blessings of church family, people that know and love and support each other and bear each other's burdens. We can forget the blessings of Julia Green School, can't we? And complain long and loud about being in a school. But praise God, we've had a place to meet for the last 3 years, haven't we? God is good. So I want to talk about our great need and our great Savior. Our great need and our great Savior. First, the great need, verse 12, and as Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Why did they stand at a distance? Because they had to. Because the law required them to stand at a distance. In fact, the law required them to be isolated, to live outside the camp, to live alone. You heard it earlier when Heath read undoubtedly one of the most unhappy Old Testament lessons we've ever had in the history of our church, that those two verses from Leviticus 13 about the most miserable, pitiful stipulations that were put upon lepers. They had to stand at a distance. Lepers looked bad. Eyebrows and eyelashes, fingers and toes, they fell off. They were not pleasant to look at. They smelled bad, too. The disease caused that. It's hard to have friends when you don't smell good. One commentator said that if a leper got anywhere close to a normal, healthy Jew, the latter would have rushed for shelter, drawing the folds of his outer garment together in order not to become contaminated. How'd you like it if people just ran away from you? They looked bad, smelled bad, sounded bad, because the disease attacked the larynx. And so their voice had this very raspy, grating sound to it. My wife lost her voice this week. I couldn't understand a word she said. It's right pathetic. I was almost hoping she might not get it back until today, and I would have had her demonstrate the sound of a leper for you. But she's fine now. They looked bad, smelled bad, sounded bad. Life was bad. They were hopeless. They had to live in isolation. The disease was incurable. Life was over. Somebody says that hell begins where hope ends. And hope ended for these people. And their life was a living, hopeless hell on earth. You ever thought of yourself as a leper? The Bible says we're every bit as unclean. Maybe more unclean. We're unclean on the inside as well as the outside. Isaiah addressed the outside when he said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Jeremiah addressed the inside when he said, "The heart is deceitful, the human heart, your heart and mine, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." And some versions translate that as desperately sick. Who can cure it? Rhetorical question. No one. And because we're so unclean, lips, heart, so impure, so defiled, so sinful, we can't get anywhere near this holy God. Indeed, there's a great gulf fixed between us, which caused the Apostle Paul to say that we are far off and without God and without hope in the world. How did lepers celebrate Thanksgiving? You say, well, they didn't have that Thanksgiving holiday in Samaria back then. But let's pretend they did. What would lepers have done? How would they have, what would they give thanks for? Anything? It's a tall order to be a leper and to give thanks. You know, sometimes even in great adversity, people will surprise you. Matthew Henry, the great Puritan, was robbed once. And yet he gave four things for which he was thankful. He said, let me be thankful first, because I've never been robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed.
Amen.
Well, there's a wise man speaking. But seriously, what? I suppose the lepers could have been thankful that they weren't criminals, that they weren't thieves or thugs. But you know, in all seriousness, what they really could have been thankful for? They could have been thankful for the fact that they had a great need. It's not a bad thing to have great needs. In fact, it's a good thing. It's a good place to be spiritually. What did John Gerstner say? But all you need is need, and all you must have is nothing. And our problem is most of us don't have nothing. We have a lot. And therefore we don't sense our need. We don't know how needy we are. But when we have needs, when we meet our match, when we have that incurable disease, that mountain we can't move, it's checkmate, and our backs are against the wall, and we come to the end of our resources, sometimes, by the grace of God, we look up. Or maybe we fall to our knees. And we cry out for help. Because we're at the end of our resources. And we recognize our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. We can't do it. We must have divine intervention. And that, my friends, is precisely what these poor, pitiful lepers did. And they cried out and they found out that their great need was more than met by a great Savior. Verses 13, 14, they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. This is a beautiful thing here. Because suddenly, these hopeless people had hope. They didn't know what hope was like. They hadn't had hope in a long, long time. But all of a sudden, they had a ray of hope because Jesus was in the neighborhood. And so they lifted their croaky, raspy voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And in so doing, they broke the rules. You realize that? They weren't allowed to do this. They weren't allowed to come within earshot. They had to stand afar off. And they had to have torn clothing and unkempt hair. And the only thing they were allowed to say was what? Unclean, unclean. Not much of a vocabulary. Why'd they break the rules? Same reason you and I would have broken the rules. We've been in the same situation. Because when you have a chance, finally a chance to be delivered, to be redeemed from the pit, to have life again, you better not let it pass, right? And so you storm the gates of heaven, as Jesus said elsewhere, almost by violence. You seek the Lord while he may be found. You call upon him while he's near. because he may not be near tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, isn't it? Not tomorrow. And so they had a chance, and they seized upon that opportunity, and they raised their raspy, croaky voices, and they pled for mercy. And the Lord, did he scold them for breaking the rules? Did he berate them? Did he say, go back where you belong? Go back to your place of quarantine and cry out, unclean, unclean. No, he knew, they had a great need. And credit these lepers for recognizing their great need, because you know what? Most people live in denial. Most people are too proud to say, I need help, especially God's help. You think there was anybody else in Samaria that needed help? Think there were any other sick people in Samaria? Any other people that needed deliverance or divine intervention? Any other sick? Any other unsaved? They didn't show up. The only people that showed up were 10 lepers. This was Jesus' welcoming committee to Samaria. Nor was this the first time Samaria had given him a cold shoulder. It happened before. And when it happened before, guess what? Jesus had done a bunch of great miracles immediately prior to that visit. He'd calmed the winds and the waves, and he'd fed 5,000 people, and he'd cast all those demons out of Legion, and he'd raised a dead girl back to life. But nobody in Samaria showed up then. Nobody cared. Nobody had a need, I guess. Or maybe it was that the Samaritans hated the Jews. And Jesus was a Jew. But the lepers, 10 lepers, his welcome wagon, they noticed, they heard, and the next time Jesus came, they didn't care what other people did or didn't do. They seized upon their one and only opportunity to have their lives redeemed from that pit of leprosy and cried out to the Lord, who is a very humble Savior. You ever heard a sermon on the humility of the Savior? We don't talk about that too often. He is so humble. He was glad to be greeted by lepers. As we saw last week, he's the Savior of the underdogs and the grasshoppers and the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. So he didn't rebuke them. He didn't scold them. He couldn't turn a deaf ear to their desperate cry for mercy. And as they lifted those voices, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And he broke the rules, because you weren't supposed to go show yourself to the priest until you'd been healed. And they hadn't been healed yet. But he was testing their faith, sending them on their way. And as they went, then they were healed. Beautiful story, isn't it? Kind of story that just warms our hearts and makes us smile. Well, maybe not. Maybe not so beautiful. A little bit of a sour ending, because Jesus asked a very profound question. Verse 17, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner, a Samaritan? And you see those 9 are juxtaposed and stand in sharp contrast with the one. Verse 15, who, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Who made him do that? Who made him turn back? Who told him to turn back? Nobody. Nobody told him to go to church. Nobody told him to be a good person, do the right thing. He couldn't help but do it because Jesus had so touched his heart. He wanted to do it. He was compelled, constrained to do it. He turned back and praising God with a Henry McFadden voice, a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, worshiping, humbled before this humble Savior, and gave him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. See that little sentence? Now, he was a Samaritan. He forgot that he's supposed to hate Jesus. That's what the love of God does to us. We love him because he first loved us. And no one told him to go. He just turned and made haste, no doubt. Broke rank with those other nine. Didn't care about going and showing himself to the priest. First things first, that was to go and fall on his face in a posture of abject humility and deep gratitude and thanksgiving, and thank Jesus who redeemed his life from the pit and transformed that hopeless hell on earth to a living hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. And interesting, isn't it? Verse 19, Jesus said, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Implying that he was the only one that was thoroughly, completely healed. Body and soul. The other nine, bodily healing, but apparently not soul healing. See, it's one thing to forget vanilla ice cream and serve scrambled eggs instead. It's quite another, isn't it? To be so unclean, so helpless, so hopeless, and so transformed. So saved and so delivered, and still be so ungrateful. Nine lepers used Jesus. They used him. They got what they wanted. They needed a sign. They needed a wonder. And Jesus gave it to them. And then it was right on with life and business as usual. They couldn't take the time to go back and say thank you. I've seen people cry out to God for healing, and the Lord graciously give that healing, and they are healed, and they go right on neglecting the Lord in every possible way. I've seen young couples cry out to God for a child, and God graciously give that child. And then those young couples turn right around and fail to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And in fact, train that child to be a rebel against the very God who answered their prayers. Dear friends, we were all as far off once upon a time by nature, as far off, as unclean, as helpless and as hopeless as these lepers, but God had mercy and redeemed our lives from the pit. And so it behooves us, we must be constrained by the Spirit of God to say with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." If you ever read the spiritual autobiography of John Newton, very interesting. And you'll find him saying time and time again, "I forgot. I forgot. I soon forgot. This too, I totally forgot." And finally, Newton came up with a solution. He had printed and hung over the mantle of his fireplace in his study, where he would see it every day, the words of Deuteronomy 15:15, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." I don't know if you and I need some inscription over the mantle or something on the refrigerator door, or a post-it note on the steering wheel. But let's do whatever we need to do so we forget not all of his many benefits to us. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. Thank you for bringing us who were far off near to you. We thank you for bridging that great gulf that was fixed between God and us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being our mediator. And thank you for being the one who brings us, has brought us into your family, into your table, where we eat and drink with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we ask your forgiveness for our forgetfulness and pray for the filling of your Spirit that we may be quick to remember that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.